First Timothy, chapter number 4. First Timothy, chapter 4. And I'd like to begin reading in verse number 11. First Timothy, chapter 4, verse number 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Our Father, we thank you so much tonight for the special music that's centered around your name. And what a great God that we serve. We have a lot to be thankful for. We certainly don't praise you as much as we should, but you certainly deserve all that we give you and much more. We thank you for the opportunity for your people to gather here tonight. Thank you for those who've come, and I pray a very special blessing upon our time together. Teach us something, minister to our hearts in a special way here tonight. Bless our pastor as he's away. I pray that you'll use him as I'll be preaching shortly, Lord. Child, use him in a special way, the real blessing to the people there. I pray now that you would bless our time together. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I've been pondering on this passage for quite some time and looking forward to an opportunity to be able to share a few thoughts that the Lord's laid upon my heart. The Apostle Paul, we know, was the greatest evangelist, missionary in all of the Bible. I believe he's one of the great Christians. Of course, he got saved on the Damascus Trail after persecuting Christians. He got saved, got on fire for God, never lost that fire. Wouldn't it be great if we could be as busy for God as we were for the devil? I mean, you know, some of us who got saved late in life, we were on fire. Then we get the greatest thing that ever happened in our lives, and then we tend to slow down a little bit. Now, Paul's writing to one of his converts by the name of Timothy here in this book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor in a very difficult time. You know, we often say today, and I've said it myself, that these are the toughest times that we've ever seen. I mean, the world is in the worst than it's ever been. But you know, you go all the way back to the flood, the world's always been in the worst because sin has always been there. And everybody has to deal with every single thing, whatever time in life you're dealing with. So Paul, the great missionary evangelist, the great teacher of the Word of God, is talking to young Timothy, giving him some important instructions as a young pastor. He's simply saying to him, you're going to have all kinds of things to deal with as a pastor. And on top of that, you're kind of young. He was probably 30, 35 years old, which was kind of young at that time compared to the other elders. So he's saying, I want to give you some instructions. You're going to have to deal with enough just being a pastor of people. But being young, I want you to have this thought in mind, Timothy. I want to challenge you that you don't do anything that's going to cause you more problems. So it says, I want you to carry yourself. I want you to handle yourself in a certain way as a young pastor, that you don't do anything yourself to cause you to have more problems than you're going to have anyway. I remember when I was 30, 35 years old, I've never been what I call a young pastor. I got saved at 30, called to preach at 32, started pastoring at 35. So I didn't hold up, but I considered myself not young in age, but young in experience. I mean, you get saved at 30, call to preach at 32, get into Bible college, graduated in May, started a church in September. You have no idea what you're doing. You've got a whole lot of head knowledge, have no experience in the ministry, though you might have been had experience in business, but no experience in the ministry at all. So I was always leery about making sure as a young preacher in the ministry that I didn't do anything myself that caused people to think I was inexperienced. I remember when I first got started preaching, I read a book called Dress for Success. I wanted to make sure that nobody looked at me a certain way and say I was inexperienced. So I wore, they said that when the younger you are, make sure that you, if you want to appear to be more experienced than you are, wear a dark suit and a white shirt and a tie and make it all that. When you walk out there, at least you can look like you've got some experience. Now, when they listen to you, it may be another thing. But at least I kind of make sure that when you walk out there, you don't make them think that you are inexperienced just by the way you carry yourself. So for a long time, I always wear, every Sunday morning, I wear dark, and I still do that most times, wear a dark suit and a white shirt and a red tie. I know y'all, I remember years ago when the Patterson was in the church, I wore that when we used to baptize almost every Sunday, and you go up there and you change, and I had on this dark suit, and every time I'd baptize, they'd see me in this dark, I wore this dark suit every Sunday, so they figured I didn't have any more clothes, so the guys got together some money and went out and bought me a suit. Well, that wasn't the case. I was just trying to show people that I had a little experience just by doing that. So this is what he's telling Timothy. He says, Timothy, you're young. You're going to be dealing with people. If you're going to be dealing with people, you're going to deal with problems. He says, but the best advice I can give you is to make sure you don't do anything as a young preacher, as a Christian, that's going to cause you more problems. So he goes down some things. He tells them here, I want you to be an example, get a hold of this, an example to the believers. You know, we often don't realize that a church is made up not of lost people. Lost people come to the church to hear the gospel and get saved. A church is made up of saved people that are different. So it says, as you are preaching and teaching, if you're going to build the church the way it needs to be built, make sure that you are a good example to the believers. Here's some advice he says I can give you. I want you to be an example, he says, first of all, in word, in speech. Make sure you're careful what you say and how you say it. He says, Timothy, I want you to be a good example in conversation. The word conversation, an old English word that means manner of living. Live a certain way, Timothy, that you're a good Christian example. He says, in charity. The word charity is love toward the brethren. Let the people know, the children, the young people, the older people, let them know that you love them. Be that kind of an example. He said, in spirit, you need to govern your passions, control your anger, control, be mild, make sure that you're meek, have some forgiveness. Be that kind of an example. He said, in faith, that means you got to be consistent. You got to have trust God regardless of your circumstances. I want you to do that. In purity, try as best as you can to live a sinless life among people. Why? He says, I want you to be a good example. So Paul was telling Timothy what I want to tell us and remind us of tonight, that the duty of a Christian, regardless of age, man or woman, old or young, the duty is to make sure that I carry myself in a certain way that no matter what I face in life, I'm going to be a good Christian example. Now, I travel with Jeanette, and I travel a lot. Sometimes we've gone. Seems like every time I come back here, there's somebody here I don't know. That's a good sign. This church is what a church ought to be. There's diversity here. There are young people here. There are teenagers here. There are middle-aged people here. There are older people here. There are black people here. There are white people here. There are other nationalities. I just think it's just a little taste of what heaven ought to be. I think when we get to heaven, we're not going to find one kind of people. We're going to find all kinds of people. That's what a church ought to be. And by the way, that's what a church ought to be, a little bit of what heaven is here on earth. So I love the diversity. I love all the people that are coming in here. Now, this church, Crossroads Baptist Church, without a doubt, this is not just what I'm saying. This is what it's saying. It's a church that stands upon the Word of God. Let me give you a commercial here about your pastor. There is, in my opinion, no better Bible preacher any place in the world, in any church or any size, that we have here at Crossroads Baptist Church. Let me tell you something. You want to learn the Bible? You want to know what the Bible says? You want to hear it? You come to Crossroads Baptist Church, you walk in these doors, you're going to hear the Word of God preach. You're going to hear how to live for God. That's the responsibility. The pastor ought to stand behind this pulpit, and every time a heart comes into this place, he ought to open up the inspired Word of God and preach it in a way that you can be moved and stirred and men and set on fire and go out and minister to somebody else. That's the work of the local New Testament church. And I'm excited that this church makes no apology, stands behind no other church when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God. We not only have a preacher that preaches the Word of God, gifted and talented, but we have a preacher that I believe that is anointed by Almighty God to preach the Word of God, not just in words, but preach it in power, that it works. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and he mends that upon the hearts of people. We're thankful to have that kind of a preacher here at Crossroads Baptist Church that we have all the time. The great preaching of the Word of God, the great teaching of the Word of God. We have, I believe, the greatest music director and assistant pastor that any church could have any place in the world. Thank God for that. He's in demand. I mean, it's amazing. People are trying to hire both of them all the time. Thank God that we have all of that going. We have some of the best Sunday school teachers you ever want to find. We got people that preach in prisons and places. They do all of this time. All of them preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God into a local New Testament church. Now, I want us to understand this thought here. I don't care how great the preaching is. I don't care how great the teaching may be. We have the best that the world has to offer here at Crossroads Baptist Church. But if I'm not mended in the Word of God, I don't think the greatest teacher in the church is a pastor who preaches the Word of God, or assistant pastor who gives us the best music, or a Sunday school teacher. The greatest teacher in the local church that builds the local church is not my exhortation, but it's a good old-fashioned Christian example. And I believe without a doubt, and we do have some great examples here at Crossroads Baptist Church, but if this church is going to be what it needs to be, it's going to take men and women who takes the great preaching and the great teaching and the great singing and the great working that goes on in our lives, and it gets a hold of our hearts that when I walk out of these doors, I see a family member, I see a coworker, I see another Christian who just got saved. May God help me to be the point in my life where my example is such a Christian example that it will teach somebody else. And I want you to think about that tonight. I believe that we're going to someday stand before Almighty God and give an example to the teaching and preaching and practicing that we've seen at Crossroads Baptist Church these many years. I mean, you can't sit on the Bible preaching all the time without letting it get a hold of you, and you go where that preacher can't preach and you preach by your life. The greatest teacher in the local church, it's not exhortation. It's a good old-fashioned Christian example. And I want to ask you tonight, from the Bible, what kind of an example, Christian example, are you according to the Bible? How are you helping to build this local church? I mean, you come in here, it's not enough to come in here and learn. It's not enough to be challenged. It's not enough to be charged. God, help me to get a hold of something that will make me an example, that I could be a teacher to somebody else, not by what I say, but my example of what I display. I want to give you very quickly here from the Bible what I believe four things that a good Christian example will do, will be seen in our lives, and will teach other people and be a blessing to God's local church. In Old Terranel, well, I'll quote the verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said this, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." A good Christian example begins when a man, woman, boy, or girl who's a part of a local church does everything that he or she can to imitate Jesus Christ. If the world needs Christ, and they're not going to sit under Bible preaching, if the world needs Jesus Christ, if a Christian wants to know what's the most important thing in your life, if a Christian, young baby Christian wants to grow in the Lord and be what I need to be, help me to see somebody that imitates Jesus Christ. May I see the love of Christ in them. May I see a life like Jesus Christ. May I labor like him. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister to other people. And if I want to be a good Christian example, there's no way for me to ever be that way if I'm not laboring to give Christ by my example to other people. You know, people are so confused about Christianity. And a lot of the confusion has to do with what we portray it to be. I mean, how do I respond? I mean, everybody's not made the same. But if the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of my life, he's what I live for. He's what I'm willing to die for. He means more to me than anything else in the world. Well, God, help me to demonstrate that by my love, by my life, by my labor. How can I believe that the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life is when I got saved and nobody else knows that? You ever been in Crossroads Baptist Church where you didn't hear the gospel preached? Never. If this is the greatest preaching church that you've been in, certainly been that I've been in, and if we preach the gospel all the time, we preach Christ all the time, we preach all the things the Bible says, it ought to be that we're giving people everything that they need. But let me tell you something. That's preached every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Sunday school class. But there's still people walking here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, walk out of that door, never change, never imitate Jesus Christ, because the exhortation won't do it. We need people to imitate the Christ who lives in our lives. A good Christian example begins when every man, every woman, every boy, I mean every time, every place you go. I mean, when you walk in the grocery store, let people see what makes us different. We go on our job, what makes us different? How I react, how I feel, how I express myself. Good Lord, if we haven't come to the point where something supernatural has made a difference in our life, there's something wrong with us. May we come to the point in our life where we're not afraid, we're not ashamed to say, I'm the way I am because one day I got saved by the grace of God.
I became a new creature. You need what I have. And by the way, I don't have to wear a Jesus first sign. It ought to be when I speak, it comes out. How I express myself, it comes out. He makes a difference. I'm a good Christian example. Anybody can quote a Bible verse. Anybody can preach a sermon. Anybody can give a message. But where is the life that backs up what we say is a part of our life? A good Christian example begins when the man, woman, boy, or girl imitates the love of Christ, the life of Christ, the labor of Christ. He's not willing that any should perish. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A good Christian example will always imitate Jesus Christ. You don't imitate the preacher. You don't imitate another Christian. You don't imitate somebody else. You imitate Jesus Christ. And it needs to be seen in our lives. Now turn back to a book or so back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If I'm a good Christian example, I'm imitating Jesus Christ. When was the last time, you don't have to answer this, somebody walked up to you and just heard you say something or took one look at you and knew right away you were different? You weren't just like everybody else. You were different. Something made you different. And by the way, that's what Christianity ought to be. We ought to imitate Jesus Christ. Paul writes here to the Church of Thessalonica, which is often called the model church. He was writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He said in verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Now notice what he said. He's talking about what happened when he and his workers went into the city of Thessalonica. He said in verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and the Lord." A good Christian example, not exhortation. A lot of us are good at talking, but not very good at walking. I'm not talking about talking Christianity. I'm talking about walking Christianity. I imitate Jesus Christ. If I'm imitating Jesus Christ and I'm a good Christian example, I ought to be able to impress other converts. Somebody ought to look at me or listen to me, and they ought to see something in me that's worth them having. This is what happened when Paul and his workers went into Thessalonica. There was an admiration for them. There was an admiration that led to action. In verse 7, he says, "So that ye were examples as all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." They so imitated Jesus Christ that they went into those new believers, those people there. They were so impressed at what they saw in them that the admiration there moved them to action to become followers and desirous of what they had. Isn't that the way Christianity ought to be? If I'm imitating Christ, if he means that much to me, if I'm that kind of example, shouldn't it be that some Christian who just got saved, some babe in Christ who doesn't know what I know, they ought to see something in my action to admire the way I carry myself, what I say, what I do, and say, I want that in my life. These Thessalonians were so moved and impressed by Paul and his workers until it moved them to action to say, that's what I want in my life. That's what we ought to be. And we become an extension of God's local New Testament church. And God sends us in all walks of life, different ways in life. And it ought to be to somebody sitting across the room for you and watching you and listening to what you're saying and how you respond. They ought to admire. They might be somebody who got a foul mouth, somebody is angry, somebody is frustrated, somebody is depressed, but they see brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so being criticized by the boss, being mistreated, and still got the joy of Jesus in their heart. And they're so impressed. It says, I want that. I want that in my life. That's what a good Christian example. You won't get that by going over preaching at them. You won't get that about rebuking them for what they're saying and how they're behaving it. But you let them see how you behave, how you respond. And that imitating that you're doing of Christ all of a sudden become an attitude that's impressing them to lead them to admiration and action to be able to say, I want that in my life. A good Christian example will always imitate Jesus Christ. Secondly, a good Christian example ought to impress converts to want what you have. Let's go. He goes on. He talks about in chapter 2. He says in verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. As you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation, this is what they're saying, was not of deceit, nor uncleanness, nor in guile, but we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, I like this, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words. We weren't trying to flatter people. As ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. Notice the pause here. And God is witness. What I said was not pleasing to man. What I said was not trying to win the favor of man. You heard it. But I'm not afraid to say God is a witness to it. He saw the heart. Verse 6, not of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. They not only witnessed to them, they poured their lives in the people. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Verse 10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Verse 11. And as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Drop down to verse 14. He said, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God. A good Christian example imitates Jesus Christ. Secondly, it will impress converts, but thirdly, it will incite people to change. You see, they behaved in such a way, carried themselves in such a way, showed love in such a way, until those people were inside it, that what they were saying was not of men, it was of God, and they became followers of them. Do we live in such a world today that we think that that's old fashioned? You hear it here today that, well, times have changed. We don't have to be the same kind of Christians anymore. I still believe times may change, but Christianity never changes. There's something wrong with me if somebody looks at me, listens to me, and they have a hard time determining what I am. I don't want to be confused. I want people to see that I imitate Christ. I want to impress people not by status in life, but what has made a filthy sinner act different, look different, behave different. And I want to walk out that door and I want to incite people to change. I want to be able to say, you know, I remember when I used to listen to that. I remember when I used to do that. I remember when I used to act like that. I remember when I used to look like that. But one day, because I'm trying to imitate my Savior, and I want to impress you about what he's done to my life, and I want to incite you to have what I have, that has made me different. I can talk it. I can preach it. But until I become a good Christian example, people won't change. You know, Crossroads Baptist Church is 37 years old, going on 37th year. If anybody's been around here, I was talking to Brother Foster Saturday morning. He says, he's the oldest deacon, and Brother Tibbs is running behind him fast. I don't know what all that means. I won't talk about age or anything, but he just said, he did tell me he was the oldest deacon. I don't know where Brother Jefferson fit, and Brother Hartwell, it's hard to tell about him. And Andre, he may be the youngest. But he was talking about it. Then we start thinking about how long some people have been around here for years and years and seen things and have done things. And I preached for years and years, 30 years here, and pastors preached 7 years. You know, and we hoop and holler from time. I don't hoop and holler as much as I used to, but I remember when I used to stand right behind the pulpit all the time, just like this, you know, my dark suit on and my white shirt and my red tie. You know, first. Then one time I went through years where I was just walking all down the, running down the aisle and acting up. And then lately I just hold on here to keep from falling. But we've hooped and hollered and preached the same thing for almost 37 years. And I'm going to tell you, it won't change till Jesus comes back. And we've done that. And you know what? The greatest teacher in this church has never been how much we hooped and holler. It's been on those who heard the hoop and holler, made changes in their life that imitated Jesus Christ, impressed other Christians, and incited people to change. There are people that could get in here and stand up here right now and tell you things, changes they made in their lives that they saw in somebody else that demonstrated a good Christian example. I don't have time tonight, but I will go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and give you the fourth one, where the churches of Macedonia, because of their love for God, they were inspired to give to an offering. And I've seen people be inspired to do something for the Lord because they saw an example of what somebody else had done. And I'm going to say this without saying it any more than I need to. We live in a generation of people today where us older folks are getting older, and the middle-aged people are trying not to get old. And the young people today think that they have all the answers and know everything. But I'm going to tell you something. It will do some of the young people to go back and put on yourself a dark suit and a white shirt and a red tie and act like you are matured. Fool people by the way you carry yourself and look and do things rather than what you say. I hear all the time, well, it's a different generation. It may be a different generation and all that, but Christianity is still the same. We still ought to imitate Jesus Christ. We still ought to impress Christian people, especially all these new converts. People walk in here, get saved, and they look around and they get confused. They don't know who. They want to look at somebody. And the younger generation, your generation, is going to replace the older generation. And you better start impressing. You better start imitating. You better start inciting and to people to be able to live for Jesus Christ. And you better have a clear, in this generation, you better be clear about some things between that makes Christianity what this old-fashioned book has always made it, what it is today. And may God help us to understand that though times may change, Christianity is still the same. And if I can't imitate Jesus Christ, I can't impress other Christian people, and I can't incite change, then there's something wrong with my Christianity. Timothy, you're young. You're going to have enough problems, but make sure you don't add to the problems by how you handle your speech, how you handle what you do. Make sure you keep in mind that you honor Jesus Christ so that it's not all about you. It's all about seeing people change because they see something in you that reminds them of the Christ you represent. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to serve you. And I thank you that when Paul was writing to young Timothy, he was talking about exercising himself to discipline. And all of these things are still things that we need to have in our lives today. And I pray that you look at every single one of us and help us to come to the point in our lives and ask ourselves, can I honestly say I'm imitating Jesus Christ? Can I honestly say that a convert can look at me and be impressed, admiration that will lead them to action? Can I carry myself in such a way that they can be incited to change? Can I make that kind of a difference? If not, then you make a difference. Maybe I need to go back to at the beginning and do a little bit more of imitating Jesus Christ. You bless the invitation, speak to hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand again.